Hello, friends, and good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are on the planet. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside beautiful Seattle, Washington, in the United States and North America. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help working together, we can and will make this earth a much better place. Today's show, I guarantee, will be really out of this world because during the first hour, from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we'll be interviewing Simon Parkes live from England. Simon is a famous English politician, has been in contact with extraterrestrials for his entire life, including reptilians, grays, mantis, feline beings, crystalline beings, and in his words, other beings which cannot be identified. His parents were both involved with the British Secret Service, and I think he's a really amazing guy. I'm so happy to have him on today. He'll be on in just a few minutes. His website is www.simonparkes.org. During the second hour from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'll be interviewing a fascinating gentleman named Dr. Wolf-Dieter Stoll. He's a cultural anthropologist, an ethnobotanist, and he's famous throughout Europe for his fascinating anthropological, scientific, and spiritual research into plants and their botanical, historical, and spiritual elements. He has a PhD in anthropology, magna cum laude from Bern, Switzerland, has taught in India in the United States, and has traveled all over the world. He's written some 25 books and has just come out with a new book called A Curious History of Vegetables. He's a frequent guest on German, Swiss, and Austrian television and has also appeared on the BBC. His website is www.english.store.de. Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations, and for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I want to thank everyone for their wonderful support and donations, especially Marco in Finland, Judith in California, Marie and Alan in Camino Island, and everyone around the world who's helped me raise consciousness and make this planet a much better place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon, a Tokelin Hotel in Tokelin, Washington, and the wonderful Crystal Voyage bookstore in Tacoma. One thing I wanted to tell you about the Crystal Voyage, as soon as you walk into their store, which is located on 38th, street just down the street from the Tacoma Mall, you feel like your energy level has gone way up. They have this waterfall fountain there with a Buddha statue. And also, too, the Crystal Voyage bookstore is the only bookstore in the United States and Canada that I know of who are giving away the Messages from Water children's books written by Dr. Masaru Emoto and Michiko Hayashi. It's a wonderful bookstore, and it's the only place in North America where you can find these beautiful books. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 70 countries. We are one of the top shows in the 3.1 Seattle and Puget Sound area, and we're heard all over the world. With that, I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including my dear friend Carol, who's designing my website and providing wonderful support. My friends Michiko Hayashi, as well as Hiro Emoto, Mrs. Emoto, and Dr. Yasu Nemoto of the Emoto Peace Project and Emoto Office in Tokyo, Japan. My friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer, Eric, and my station manager, Eric Crema, without whose support and help this program would not have been possible. I've started a new spiritual mentoring program. I've been in touch with the other side for 22 years, and my accuracy rate for readings is very high, and I can help people with relationships, past lives, career choices, and contacting friends and family on the other side. If you're interested, please contact me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and I can also be reached on my cell phone number at 509-750-9793 or toll-free in North America at 1-888-879-8339. I also have a new column on my webpage called Ask Ted. When you go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com, you'll see the little click, and it has some free spiritual advice for everyone. I want to thank everyone who came to my Galactic Conference last weekend. Weekend before last, it was an incredible experience and a big success. Simon Parkes was at the conference, appearing by Skype, and I'm so happy to have him on today. We will be having another Galactic Wisdom Conference on March 10, 11, and 12 in 2017 at the same location in Olympia, Washington. It'll be followed by 2 days on March 14th and 15th with Dr. Yoshi, direct from Japan. He will be giving demonstrations and selling his beautiful Haro machines there at during those days. If you're interested, please send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com. Before we go to Simon in England, I just wanted to mention a few some wonderful conferences and events which will be coming up. From July 19th to the 21st, Professor Irvin Laszlo, who's one of, in my opinion, one of the world's most famous scientists, philosophers of scientists, will be sponsoring a wonderful conference called the Infinite Conscious Conference at www.laszlo-institute.com. That's L-A-S-Z-L-O Institute.com. Then from August 12th to the 21st, there'll be a wonderful spiritual conference sponsored by my friend Marilyn Rosner and the IIIHS Institute in Montreal, Canada. Both Michiko Hayashi of the Moto Peace Project and I will be keynote speakers, and I hope you can all come. Their website for more information is http://www.iiihs.org. Then from August 19th to the 21st, there will be a Peace and Light Conference in the Dominican Republic. This is an incredible opportunity to meet some of the world's most famous and interesting spiritual people, including a gentleman named Bratzo, who can literally heal people with his eyes. For more information, please see their website at www.paxluxmundi.com. Then on September 17th, in this area, in Olympia, Washington, there will be a wonderful Cosmic Awareness Fair at the Washington RV Park and Event Center at 9101 Silicon Road in Olympia, with some incredibly talented psychics and aura readers, including Carolyn White, who was on my radio show last week. That event is free and open to the public. Beginning in late October, extending into the early November, Michiko Hayashi, the global director of the Moto Peace Project, will be doing a West Coast tour of both the United States and Canada, starting in San Francisco and then moving up to Mount Shasta, where she will give a presentation there on October 23rd. Then on November 1st, she'll be giving a presentation at the New Traditions Cafe in downtown Olympia, Washington. Then after that, she'll be moving up to Yelm, Washington, as well as Seattle, Washington, and Vancouver, Canada. For more information about her appearances or for tickets, please send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com or feel free to call me anytime at 509-750-9793 here in the United States. With that, I'd like to welcome Simon Parks. Simon, I want to thank you so much for coming on my show today. It's really good to have you here. Simon, can you hear us okay? Okay, we need to get him back on. We seem to have lost him. I'll give a little bit about his background. He's a famous English politician who's been in contact with extraterrestrials for his entire life, including reptilians, greys, mantis, feline beings, crystalline beings, and other beings which cannot be identified in his words. He's also a famous English politician, and his parents were both involved with the British Secret Service. He's an amazing guy. He appeared by Skype during my recent Galactic Wisdom Conference, and he will also be interviewed for my television program soon. His radio interview is being conducted live from London, England by Skype, and it should be really out of this world. Please listen during this hour to Simon as he describes life beyond this planet. His website is www.simonparkes, that's S-I-M-O-N-P-A-R-K-E-S.org. And I think we have Simon on the line now. Simon, welcome to the program.
Hello, Ted. It's really lovely for you to invite me, and I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to speak to you and to all your wonderful listeners.
Well, thank you so much, Simon. You know, I love your integrity. I love your honesty. And I really found what you've said before, both at my conference and I've seen, you know, of course, your website and what you've written there, to be absolutely fascinating, offering people around the world a completely different perspective on what life is out there beyond this planet.
Yes, I'm sure I'm not the only person, Ted, but there are not very many who are prepared to go as public as I did, and I can understand why, because the established media really turn on you. Mm-hmm. And for a number of years, they made my life quite difficult. But when you know something of the magnitude that I experienced, mm-hmm. and you realize that many governments are not being fully truthful with their citizens, then you have to decide whether you just duck your head down and pretend it didn't happen, or whether you tell people in the hope that they'll do their own research and start to investigate for themselves. And I decided on the latter course, that I was going to actually speak my truth and hopefully try and connect with some people. And I've been doing that for the last 7 years now.
Wonderful. Just wonderful, Simon. Now, we mentioned, we talked briefly on air, off the air here a few minutes ago, about the yesterday's vote in Britain about the European Union. Could you tell my listeners a little bit about that? I think that's a tremendous event.
It is. I mean, there are young people going around actually saying that they realized that they were alive during one of the life-changing events in Great Britain. Mm-hmm. For American listeners in particular, Europe is composed of a number of countries that all signed up to one sort of government. Mm-hmm. And Great Britain never went the whole hog. We never took the same money. We didn't take the euro. We stayed with our British pound.
Good.
And yesterday we had a vote to decide whether we wanted to stay in the European Union or leave. And the elite of, I think, the world expected Great Britain to stay in the European Union. But by a reasonable margin, we voted to leave. And it has caused shockwaves. I'm very pleased I voted to leave because it holds up Agenda 21. That's the agenda that is not very good for people.
Right.
And it also holds up the one world government. So Great Britain has actually made a stand to take itself away from the corporate countries and to be independent. So it's had a very big effect, and our British Prime Minister has resigned. He resigned today.
Yeah,
he's gone. He's going to stay until October, and then he's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got some huge changes occurring in this country. And the reason for the vote, I believe, was partly the number of migrant workers coming in is very large,
sure.
And the indigenous population didn't like it. And secondly, there's a huge disconnect between ordinary, average, decent people and the super rich and the elite of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that basically the ordinary people are no longer listening to the instructions they're being given by the rich and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a big change in this country. So yeah, it's been a very busy day for us.
That's amazing. You know, one thing I want to give you a compliment on your governmental system. It's a parliamentary system, of course, in Britain. But if we elect a bad president here in the United States, we have to stick with them for 4 years, of course, unless they get impeached like Richard Nixon. But usually we just have to stick it out. But with your system, David Cameron, is that right, the prime minister?
Yes.
He's decided to resign, which is just amazing.
Well, we do have a parliamentary system. We don't have a Bill of Rights as you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
But under the parliamentary system, it would be like your Senate and your mm-hmm. Congress have mm-hmm. the right not to impeach, but basically they go round privately and say to him, we don't support you anymore, and then he resigns. So it's a much more representative action. So in other words, if you mm-hmm. have the equivalent of a congressman, we would call it a member of parliament,
mm-hmm.
and he or she gets lots of phone calls from sure. their constituents, they then have the power to go to the prime minister and say, I think you better go.
Sure, amazing. Just amazing. Well, one of the things you mentioned was One World Government and Agenda 21, and I'd love to ask you just a few brief questions about that. My listeners out there around the world who are not familiar with Agenda 21, it's a system, it's touted as a way for environmental protection, I think, and for land use planning, but I think it's much more than that, isn't it? It's a way to control people, Simon, from what you know?
Yes. It was brought into operation over 20 years ago, very, very under the blankets, done very quietly.
Mm-hmm.
Part of Agenda 21 is the spraying of chemicals, the removal of vitamins, forcing vaccines onto people.
Wow.
Agenda 21, in my opinion, is a cover to weaken the human population.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very evil and nasty program, and something that I certainly will resist, and I'm sure many others will as well.
Are chemtrails part of the Agenda 21 framework?
Originally, no. Maybe some listeners will remember the original George Bush once talking about global warming and saying it was nonsense, and then obviously somebody had a word with him, because the next day he said, it's actually all true. Originally, the idea for chemtrailing was, look, I've got police cars going past them. You would think I'm in America, wouldn't you? Very, very rare for this part of Great Britain, I must tell you. We get one police car a day here.
Really?
Right. The object, if I go back to 1944,
okay.
The Brits and the Americans dropped little strips of tin foil, and the project was called Operation Window.
Mm-hmm.
And it was designed to confuse German radar. Mm-hmm. So they understood a lot from that. And what they were doing in the early stages was just literally dropping tiny pieces of aluminum to reflect back the sun's light. Mm-hmm. And when they realized that they could utilize ordinary commercial jet airliners and they could spray chemicals from their exhausts, then they started to use both viruses and bacteria and other chemicals. But one of the side shoots, not for what we would call ET races, but races that travel by portal technology. So I would call those extra dimensional entities.
Mm-hmm.
When they arrive into the atmosphere, they open a portal and arrive. And it's very hard to detect them with standard radar. But if you were to, and we go back to Operation Window, if you were to spray tiny pieces of aluminum into the atmosphere, when a alien spacecraft enters and it creates a sort of a ripple into the atmosphere as it arrives, all those tiny pieces of aluminum actually send back a signature onto a radar blip. So there are many reasons, many ways they use chemtrailings to weaken the humans through chemical and biological. It's also this to seed the atmosphere with aluminum, and there are many other reasons they use them. So yeah, it's quite a nasty thing, really.
Interesting. I know that from my own experience, I lived for a number of 14 years in eastern Washington, which is about 250 miles or so east of Seattle. And in that area where I was living up until 2014, the U.S. Navy was spraying chemtrails every other day. And I had the air, the water, and the fish analyzed in the local area. And the aluminum rates were up to 10,000 times what they should be from background. The sulfur rates were 3,000 to 4,000 times what they should be. The barium and strontium rates were thousands and thousands of times higher. And the kind of health effects that you see in eastern Washington from that are dramatic rises in the rates of Alzheimer's disease, which is caused by aluminum, because the aluminum separates the two frontal lobes, the right and left lobes. You also see a lot of stillbirths and infantile deaths from the strontium and barium. And I sent the results. I had them tested by the University of Wisconsin, and then I sent the results to an environmental specialist back in Pennsylvania. And she told me that under U.S. Department of Labor regulations, if that area, especially around Grant County, Moses Lake area, where the target of much of the spraying is done, if that was a U.S. labor site, they'd have to shut it all down, evacuate everybody as being a hazardous waste site.
Yeah, it's shocking.
And
that just is very interesting, because originally the aluminum wasn't used as a weapon. It was used as a defensive, as I explained. But then other factions took over the chemtrailing and then used the aluminum. And as you said, it's very interesting because it divides the left and right hemispheres of the brain, which allows scala waves then to be targeted into the left or the right brain. It's easier then to make people think they're hearing voices or to give them visions. So by breaking the left and the right, you actually fracture a person, and it's very useful for mind control technologies. So that is actually a byproduct of originally using aluminum to detect alien spacecraft.
Amazing, amazing. The other problem that I ran into over there was that none of the major media would pick it up. None of the newspapers, none of the television stations, not even the radio stations would do any stories on it. So that's one of the reasons why I started my radio program years ago, is to highlight things that the major media was not focusing on.
I'm not at all surprised. You know that your president or the president's spokesman gives a briefing on a regular basis.
Right.
And there were originally three topics you weren't allowed to ask. One of them was on Cuba, but apparently now you can ask questions on Cuba. Mm-hmm. That's allowed. Mm-hmm. And the other question is on UFOs. If any press man or woman asks a question on UFOs, their news station or newspaper is forbidden for ever coming back to the White House to be part of that briefing. So as a result of that, they don't ask questions. And you'd have to ask, if the official line from major governments around the world mm-hmm. is that UFOs do not exist,
right.
why would you be frightened of a question on the subject?
Well, I'm sure you've heard about this, Simon, but I wanted to share with you a little story, a very interesting interview that President Obama had here in the United States. It was on Jerry Kimmel Live, I believe. When was it? It must have been either earlier this year or late last year, where Jerry Kimmel's a comedian, and they were on NBC, television station seen throughout the country late night. And Mr. Kimmel jokingly asked what President Obama would do. Mr. Kimmel said, well, if I was president, that the first thing I'd look into is whether UFOs are real. And what President Obama said was very interesting, Simon. What he said was that he didn't blink like he usually does, and blinking is an indicative of lying, but he didn't blink this time. He looked straight at him, and he said that they're out there where they keep a very tight rein on us. They control us. They control the entire world, much of the world, actually, and they tell us what to say. And he wasn't laughing. Of course, Mr. Kimmel was laughing, but then later, Dr. Michael Sala, who's a friend of mine in Hawaii, one of the world's most interesting UFO researchers, did an analysis with some police detectives of his actions and body language during the video, and they all said that he was telling the truth.
When President Obama was first elected in the first term of office, mm-hmm. there was a great deal of excitement and speculation, no less in the States,
right.
that the UFO subject was going to be broached, it was going to be spoken about, and mm-hmm. The truth would come out. And I honestly and genuinely believe that President Obama was a good man.
Right.
And he did really intend to break the silence. But of course, what happens is these good men get into office and then they're just reminded about JFK. They're right. just reminded that if you go too far, you'll end up with a bullet in your head. So a lot of these good intentions just end up nowhere.
Right.
And I note that, Hillary Clinton, in a fairly recent hustings talk, as we say in Britain, mm-hmm. she started saying, if I'm president, I'll look into UFOs. So it seems to be that this is a stock ploy.
Are you there, Simon? Hello, Simon. Are you there? Eric, we seem to have lost Simon there. We'll try to get him back on. He's just a truly fascinating man. We're talking about UFOs right now and how Hillary Clinton has said that she would look into UFOs if she was elected. But Simon was giving us his comments on that. I hope we can bring him back. We'll see if we can ring him back here. Anyway, we're interviewing Simon Parks, a famous English politician who's been in contact with extraterrestrials for his entire life, including reptilians, greys, mantis, feline beings. Feline beings are part... lion, part cat, and part human, and crystalline
Hello,
beings.
Ed, I can hear you.
Oh, good, Simon. I'm so glad.
Ted, I don't know what happened there, but I could actually hear you really well.
Oh,
you
good.
Just couldn't hear me. Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, I know that sometimes when we discuss sensitive subjects on this radio program, suddenly our connections are lost, or for inexplicably for no reason. But yeah. I'm glad we're back on now, my friend. It's good to talk to you again.
No, that's fine. That's fine. And yes, there are certain topics that. Some people really don't want aired, and I'm really glad that you air them. So, yeah, let's carry on.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, actually, I think with Hillary Clinton, I think she's really controlled. Even if she wanted to do good things for the country and the world, she would be prevented from doing so by the same entities who control President Obama. So you really have to ask, who are the players behind these people and what is their agenda? And I guess that leads me to another question now. Is that your own experience with the reptilians, the greys, the mantis, other life forms beyond this planet, Simon? I'd love to hear your comments on that.
Okay. One of the many things people say to me is, I appear to be so calm. Mm-hmm. How is it that, you know, I've experienced what I've experienced, mm-hmm. and yet I'm so calm about it? And it's a very simple, isn't it? There's nothing special here. It's that I can't remember a time without them. In mm-hmm. other words, from a very small child, mm-hmm. I've seen them. And also, I'm very, very lucky that they've never hurt me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've never had a reason to have any fear. And as I grew up, I just realized that I lived in two worlds. Mm-hmm. I lived in the world of the everyday life. Right. And then, of course, at certain times, these things would visit. The reptilians, the group that I'm familiar with, we call them Draconis. Mm-hmm. These are the white reptilians with the white skin and the red eyes, like albinos, basically.
Okay.
They are quite tall. They are about 6 to 7 times stronger than an average male. Mm-hmm. They are very psychic. And if you, let's say, imagine you have a glass of water or a cup of water, and you think, I'm going to go and reach and, you know, just an automatic gesture, pick the glass up, they will know that before your hand actually moves. So they're incredibly psychic, which makes them very, very difficult adversaries. Mm-hmm. The other one, which I call mantid, but you guys refer to as a mantis, mm-hmm. and they're very different. They are a little bit more spiritual. The Draconis don't really have much spirituality, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. But the mantis, I'll use your terminology, mm-hmm. are divided into three groups. The lower echelon group, it's a hierarchical structure. The lower echelon group are the doctors, absolutely brilliant physicians. Mm. The next strata up are the computer operators or the spacecraft operators. And then the next group above them are the first group of the officer class, for want of a better word. And they wear a purple robe with a hood, mm. and that symbolizes their rank. And this is the character that I referred to as Mum. So I always call him, and it's a male, so it's very confusing. Mm-hmm. I refer to him as Mum. Mm-hmm. This is what they wanted me to call it. Mm-hmm. And the Draconis reptilian I referred to as Dad. So the Draconis said, you know, I am your father, and mm. you call me father. Well, of course, as a 5-year-old child, I've called him daddy. Mm-hmm. So that, of course, is really quite unusual for many situations. Not unique, but is unusual. And so these are the two major groups that interacted with me from the age of about 3, mm-hmm. Right up to the present day. So it's been an ongoing situation. And one that has been both beneficial in many ways, but also incredibly challenging.
I bet. My goodness. I appreciate your insights on this so much. I know that there's been a lot of... Would you call the... is it Draconis? Is that right to pronounce it? Is that right?
Yes. Basically, they're from the Draconis star system.
Okay.
So... They've been there such a long time that they've taken the name, and that's why, you know, we have such a history on this planet of dragons.
Oh.
Whether it's China or Great Britain or America, the dragon is a very important symbol, and many secret societies take the dragon as their emblem.
Right.
So that is the history, because they are linked very closely. And just very quickly, if you think about ancient Roman history, the ancient symbol of the Romans was the eagle mm-hmm. on top of its standard. So the legion, which was the major military unit of the ancient Roman Empire, was the eagle. And then in about 220 AD, for no reason that I can find, they just took away the eagle and replaced it with what's called a Draco. So they actually changed to the dragon standard. And I think somebody very high up in ancient Rome had a very interesting experience and then said to his generals, right, you're going to take off the eagle and you're going to replace it with a dragon. So if you look in history, there are answers, but it's just having the time. We're all so busy to dig back in history and try and find those golden nuggets.
Right, right. From what my own knowledge of human history is, Simon, I'd love your comments on this, is that there's been basically a, if you could say, like a cold war between the Draconis reptilians and the more benevolent entities, a cold war that's been going on for hundreds of thousands of years. And the Draconis themselves are oriented towards service to self. And I remember that in an interview that we had at my Galactic Wisdom Conference. Thanks so much for being there. That when I interviewed you about that, you said that the Draconis reptilians think that they've gone as far as they can go in a technological sense, and they look down at humans because they said that we're developing species. And I think you're right. We, in a way, that they are right. We need to evolve certainly, but they think that they've reached their plateau. Is that correct interpretation? Okay, Simon, can you hear us? We seem to have lost Simon again. Okay, all right. Well, my wonderful sound engineer Eric is trying to get him back by Skype again.
I'm still there. They obviously don't like the topic, do they?
No, I guess not. So I'm going to ask it again. you had mentioned at my Galactic Wisdom Conference, Simon, that the Draconis reptilians themselves are very technologically advanced, but they feel like they've reached a plateau and they actually look down upon us humans as a developing species. Is that correct?
Okay. Can you hear me, Ted?
I can hear you fine, Simon, coming
Fantastic.
Through just fine.
They are really playing a funny game today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the important thing is that any species that just believes that looking after itself is the most important thing will end up in a evolutionary cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, there are a number of other alien species that don't follow that line.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the reptilians are well engaged. They're very closely engaged with a number of organizations. The Vatican is one,
mm-hmm.
certainly parts of the Pentagon, the White House. They were very, very controlling in what was the old Soviet Union, Russia.
Mm-hmm.
They've now been kicked out.
Excellent.
The reptilians no longer have a say in Russia. In China, they are half and half. So half of the group are reptilian and another half are the Nordic race.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got pockets over the globe where different alien species have an agreement with their local country. So Mossad, the intelligence arm of Israel, has its own special hotline to an alien group. And you mm-hmm. find that those countries that have that connection, their technology is much higher than those countries that don't have a connection.
I see. Fascinating. Now, in China, you mentioned that the government is controlled half by the reptilians and half by the Nordics. Are they beneficial? Are they benevolent Nordics, or are they more of a negative oriented race?
And the Nordics are the natural enemies of the reptilians.
I see.
You will never find a spacecraft that contains both Nordics and reptilians on, or there'll be no bases where those two races work together hand in hand, because they are enemies. So basically what's happening in China is that the Chinese government are playing one off against the other to see which deal they can get with the best.
Isn't that a dangerous game for them?
Yeah, it's pretty dangerous. You know, when you are dealing with people whose technology is many hundreds of years ahead of yours,
right?
It is very difficult and very stupid to do that, because ultimately you're going to get caught out in the end. But, you know, the Chinese are on a mission to dominate the world through the economy. I mean, they already have one third of the world's gold.
Amazing.
That's not widely known. So they're ready to launch their yuan, their currency, and that
right.
will be gold-backed.
Right.
So they are, in a way, I suppose, in a very strong position with off-planet races, because both China and India are going to be the two powerhouses in the next 10 years on this planet. China's already on the wane. It's going down because they've poisoned their country in order to get this huge economic growth. So India grew by 9% last year. It was the fastest growing country on the planet.
Wow.
So, you know, things change, but if you play a game that they play, then it's not one I would recommend.
Right. Well, isn't China, in a way, going down the same road as the reptilians, in a way of an evolutionary cul-de-sac, where they're putting so much emphasis on material wealth without accompanying spiritual development that they could end up poisoning and polluting their country beyond habitability? I mean, they could end up killing themselves from all the pollution?
Ted, you're absolutely spot on. You've hit the nail on the head, as mm-hmm. we say in Great Britain. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. I mean,
thanks.
You know, what's China been doing recently? It's been sending super tankers to get water from Lake Erie.
Oh, my God.
Because they haven't got any decent water to drink in their major cities. So I understand that, that mm-hmm. the water's gone down like 15 feet in the last few years. There's so many billions of gallons of water because they've poisoned their own water. Well, that is a very reptilian thing in the sense that, you turn your back on the ecology, you forget about the planet, you forget about the animals. Well, that's going to come back and bite you.
And one of the problems in China, of course, is that they've gone after spiritual groups like the Falun Gong. Many Tibetan priests and monks have been murdered by the Chinese government. And it's like they're afraid of any kind of spirituality or any kind of higher spiritual advancement.
Well, you're right on. What used to happen in the 1970s was that the Chinese government would put the monks into prison. But the next morning, the guards would come in and find that the monks were no longer in the prison cell, but were actually outside in the courtyard. And they couldn't understand how the monks were able to escape from their prison.
Right.
And it got to the point where they stopped doing it and they either put them under house arrest or murdered them mm-hmm. because anybody who has the ability to pass through a prison wall is clearly very, very spiritual and has transcended beyond the sort of physical that we understand. Mm-hmm. And that is the reason why the Chinese are so fearful of the Dalai Lama or any of the other spiritual monks, because they have reached a level of learning that does not bring into account money or material gain. You know, monks don't have cell phones unless they are, you know, doing their connecting work. But generally speaking, if you detach from materialistic world, mm-hmm. you then develop your spiritual world. Now, we can't do that. We're in a world where we have to survive. We have to pay our bills and we have to have food.
Right.
But it's changing. The last 5, 6, 7 years, more and more people are questioning the lifestyle that they're in and are seeking answers. So although things look bad, actually, I'm very positive about the future.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. One of the predictions, I've been a psychic for 22 years, and I have been very fortunate to be in touch with Nostradamus of all spirits on the other side. He says China will change and eventually become a democracy. And I know that's going to happen because the entire planet actually is slated for ascension, and we are rising. The entire planet's vibrations are getting higher by the day.
I totally agree with you, absolutely. And mm-hmm. I don't have any time for these what we call doom and gloom merchants here in Great Britain. Because if you believe in that, you'll create it. It's mm-hmm. like when I did a conference a couple of years back,
mm-hmm.
and a gentleman approached me. Who I believe to be from the Knights Templars. Mm-hmm. And he said he'd been sent to me. His employers had decided that they'd listened to what I'd said and believed mm-hmm. that it was truth
mm-hmm.
and that I was, and I quote, a sacred object and needed to be protected. And he offered me bodyguards and armored cars. And he said, there is a nuclear bunker for you in Great Britain, for you and your loved ones, mm-hmm. should you need to go there. The thing is, I didn't accept the nuclear bunker because if you believe in that, you'll bring it on.
That's true.
But I'm quite taken with the armored cars. I quite like the idea of going shopping to the mall in an armored car. But what he meant and offered was genuine. But mm-hmm. I will not buy into that because mm-hmm. I want human people to actually have freedom and happiness and not to have to hide underground with bombs dropping on their head.
I have a lot of friends off planet in the Galactic Alliance, and they're a benevolent group of 450 million planets in this one third of the Milky Way galaxy. And I know I have their protection and they've got my back. So for many light workers around the world, we are being protected. There's only one place I would not recommend going, and that's China at the present time. I think things will change in the future, but I don't think it's safe for people who are doing spiritual work.
Yes, I agree. And that's why I made a big point about the monks mm-hmm. and they are murdered or house arrest because the Chinese government is between two factions. That's what's happening.
You know, there's an old saying here in the United States, Simon, I'm sure you've heard about it, but when you play with fire, you've got to be careful because you can get burned. And this is exactly what the Chinese are doing right now. They're sacrificing everything for the material god, which is an evolutionary cul-de-sac, because they can only go so far with it before they completely foul their nest and pollute their country beyond the point where the Chinese people won't be able to live there.
Well, let's take that further. That's why the Chinese have been buying up huge amounts of land in Africa and South America, because they, as incredible as it seems, they have a fallback plan to literally relocate millions of people to other countries. And that is why they buy so much real estate.
Huh, amazing. That's just amazing. Just amazing. I wanted to ask you about our own government here, the United States government. What kinds of... I'm familiar with Eisenhower's illegal treaty he signed with the Greys and the Reptilians back in 1954. I believe it was called the Treaty of Merida. I'm not sure of the name. Whereby, in exchange for some of their advanced technology to fight the then Soviet Union in the Cold War, that they would be allowed to abduct and study us, study humans. Do you know much about the current situation here in the United States?
Yeah, I think we touched on this before, and I just have to put my opinion. My opinion is it wasn't 1954.
Okay.
My opinion, it was 1950.
Oh, that's right, 1950. I'm sorry, yes.
But there was a meeting in 54 because the president said that the Greys were not holding to the agreement, and he called a meeting to say that he had been informed that people were being abducted and their names were not being passed on, and the Greys were taking people above the quota. And so he attempted to hold the Greys to the written contract, the contract that had been made. And basically, the aliens just gave the president the finger. Oh. And from that point onwards, the human government was in no doubt that this particular alien race was just trying to trick them. And that was the point, that there was a mass rush to back engineer, to use alien technology, to try to bring the United States, quite correctly, actually, in my opinion, as close to defending itself as it could. Because if you have a bow and arrow and the other guy has got a semi-automatic weapon, you can't negotiate. So what quite rightly what the president had to do was to rush a program through so that the American people could be some sort of defense. And they did remarkably well. And the ultimate part, of course, was Ronald Reagan's Star Wars. And that's interesting because the physical technology for Star Wars existed. What didn't exist until the late 70s, early 80s, was the software to run it. If you are an alien spacecraft and you are circling the Earth and a human radar locks onto you, you will detect not the radar lock so much, but the minds of the people in the control room. Now, this is what was happening. That's why they couldn't be shot down. And then the Americans relocated all the human operators maybe 200-400 miles away from where the weapon was. So when the weapon fired, the crew of the alien spacecraft had no connection, couldn't pick up any human activity. And then that's when they began to get some successes. And one of you have a weapon, which I think came from the Vietnam War. It's a mortar called Davy Crockett. Davy Crockett, I think that's a nickname for this mortar. And it fires a weapon that creates an electromagnetic pulse. Now, what the Americans and the Brits found was that when you detonate a weapon that creates an EMP pulse, for about 7 to 8 seconds, the force field around an alien spacecraft comes down as it recalibrates. So that was the window of opportunity for them to be taken out by missiles. So a number of Grey spacecraft in the 1980s were brought down through that method. So it's cat and mouse. They create a new defense, and then the humans back engineer some more technology and catch up, and that's what's been going on. So basically, when the aliens gave, I think it was Ike, the finger, that was it. All the bets were off. And of course, it all goes back to your very, very famous Roswell crash.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I've been in touch with the Galactic Alliance now for the past 2 years, and they tell me that they are working behind the scenes to turn things around here on the planet. And I know that they're there, and I know that a lot of light workers, for example, are getting the help and protection they need. And I also know, too, that worldwide the reptilians have implanted so many people with what they call negative implants to make people think in a negative way, to feed off the negativity. But those are being removed as well, so we can have our free will back. With the bottom line is that I think the future for humanity on this planet is very, very bright. I don't see a third world war. What do you see, Simon?
I don't see a third world war, but I do see issues between countries that could relate, could develop in some sort of conflict. Mm-hmm. I think from the United States point of view, I can see some states getting potentially close to conflict with the federal side. You know, you've got six of your own states now that have petitioned to leave the union. You've got two states that have formally written to President Obama demanding their gold back. You know, the Texans want to produce their own currency and be gold backed. So there are going to be issues, but there's going to be no calamitous end. There's going to be no end of the world, but there will be issues coming up from time to time. Yes.
Interesting. Interesting. Regarding our presidential election here this year, what kinds of things do you see from your perspective?
It is a very interesting. Hillary Clinton represents the steady as she goes mindset, which is, look, it's working. We've got all the citizens. They're all slaves. They're all working away. Keep the situation like that. We can go on for another 20 years. Then you've got those who back Donald Trump. And that is, by and large, the military industrial complex. And they've got to a point now where they want to push the issue. They're basically saying, we've got to do something. This is the man to do it. And I actually, you know, think of Donald Trump as a Mr. Ronald Reagan on steroids. He will do things and enact into law things that no other president would dream of doing. So on the timeline I'm looking, as it stands at the moment, Mr. Trump will be your next president.
Interesting.
You know, it depends on the FBI. We've got something like 14 days left before the FBI have to decide whether they're going to arrest Hillary Clinton for the 200 emails. But they won't do it unless Joe Biden is prepared to stand as the Democratic nominee in place of Hillary Clinton. So it, never mind justice, this is all about deals being done behind doors to see what happens. But as it stands at the moment, incredible as it may be to many of your listeners, Mr. Trump is online to be president as it stands at the moment.
Interesting. Interesting. I had a gentleman from the Hollow Earth on my show about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Simon. And he said that this would not be in a normal election year. He wouldn't elaborate. But there's been a lot of speculation from that statement, including that Hillary may be indicted. I don't know.
I can honestly tell you and the listeners that the dossier is on the desk of the head of the FBI, and that keeps being put into the third drawer down on the right. Oh, I shouldn't be doing this, but I'll tell you, the third drawer down on the right of this person's desk and comes out again, sits on the top. The person thumbs the pages and thinks, oh goodness, what am I going to do with this? And it goes back down again. But the time is ticking and a decision has to be made. Now, I really don't know. I honestly can't see the future here with that.
Right.
But certainly your election is in November. If Mr. Trump wins the election in November, you will have three states within 6 weeks of his election demanding to leave the union.
Which states do you see those? Texas, probably one of them?
California, Texas, and possibly Ohio.
Interesting. Interesting. We're getting close. This hour has gone so fast, Simon. We've got about 6-7 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you, if you don't mind, a little bit about the royal families. I know you probably know about David Icke, and he's been on my show before. Princess Diana actually called the royal family in Britain the lizard people. Is there any credence to that, that they actually are not entirely human?
Yes, I have the highest regard for David Icke. David Icke came onto the planet to be like a snowplow, to be the person who went through the virgin snow to make a path. And of course, he was attacked left, right, and center. As far as I'm concerned, Diana was murdered, murdered by elite people because she was pregnant with Dodi's child. That's why her body was embalmed, so that there would be no evidence of that. Yes, there's a difference. I know we haven't got much time. There's a difference between a person who has a reptilian soul, and I have one third of my soul is reptilian. There's a difference between that and when what I call an overlay. If you take a person and then the entity actually overlays itself over that person and takes control of them.
Right.
And these are not really human people at all, and their soul is 100% reptilian, but their physical body also contains huge reptilian genetics. Now, Diana, on a number of occasions, saw people change shape.
Wow.
She saw that, and many others, and many bodyguards saw that. And I'd say to your listeners, if they do the research, they'll find that Hillary Clinton's number one bodyguard, who was a Navy SEAL, died, and the official news is he died in his training camp. He didn't. He was shot dead by other bodyguards because he was trying to shoot Hillary Clinton. And this is, goes back 2 or 3 years ago when Hillary Clinton was on a special mission to Iran to meet the president of Iran, and the head of the SEAL bodyguard had seen Hillary change into something which he didn't like and decided that this was something not of this planet, shot her. And if you your listeners look in the news, they'll see that it was reported that she'd had an accident either in the Senate or the Congress. She'd fallen and hurt herself.
That's right.
And
I
she was
that.
Off. That was actually a gunshot wound from a Heckler & Koch 9mm weapon, I think, or 7.62mm weapon. But anyway, there's a long story on that. So, but this is basically where he had seen the overlay change, and this is what Princess Diana referred to as the lizard people.
Did she?
So I hope that's helpful.
Oh, it's fascinating. Actually, I've gotten similar information from psychic friends of mine who I meet with regularly. We go out for a cup of coffee and we talk about all kinds of things because we were in touch with spirits on the other side.
That's good. That's great.
And last weekend, after we had drank some coffee, and this friend of mine started channeling, and she said that Hillary Clinton's has a lot of reptilian energies in her itself, and she's not completely human. She looks human, but it's not.
Well, as these people get older, the visage, the face breaks down. And if you looked at the outgoing Pope, one of the reasons he had to go wasn't because there was a court case coming up against him, was because the genetics were breaking down and they become more and more what they really are until the mask is just slipping off their face and they have to be replaced. So this is the last chance for Hillary to be president, because after this, the genetics will break down to such an extent that nobody would be able to be in the same room as her.
I see. I see. So she'll have red eyes, then a scaly skin?
She won't have red eyes, I don't think, because she's not of that line.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there are more than one form of reptilian. There are several different groups of reptilian. They're not all of the same line, but they would all have signed the same deal. So the group of reptilians under the Vatican are the same group that are under the White House.
Interesting. Simon, I just wanted to say quickly, for those who just tuned in, this is Ted Marr of Out of This World Radio. I'm having a fascinating interview with Simon Parks live, coming to us live by Skype from England. Simon, we've got about a minute and a half left, and I wanted to give you the time, my friend, to talk about anything you like, and I want to thank you so much for coming on today.
Well, I want to thank you, Ted, because you're a good man, and we need all the good people that we can get. Good people need to work together. So my message is to the American people. I know your radio station goes everywhere, but this is to the American people. You have a wonderful country. You are wonderful people. Never forget who you are. Never forget the fact that you have a right to live unmolested, and you need to be strong and look after yourselves and your family, and don't let elite people push you around. So that's what I want to say to the American people.
I've been in touch with, very fortunate, been in touch with President John F. Kennedy, and I'll be having a special program a week from today, actually, for the 4th of July holiday, with channeling messages from him, along with other great spirits as well. Anyway, Simon, and we'll be interviewing you tomorrow for my television program. And Simon, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, my friend. I hope you have a wonderful day.